There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riesmandel, and I'm your host. On today's program, 800 people turned out to tell the FCC what's wrong with the state of media ownership in the city of Chicago and nationwide, and what is especially wrong with the state of minority ownership in media. We'll hear some excerpts from the testimony given to the FCC on the evening of September 20th, and also be speaking with Scott Sanders, who's with Chicago Media Action, which is a media action group up there in Chicago. You do want to stay tuned.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, commissioners, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon to all of you. I just have a quick announcement. Rainbow Push has teamed with Chicago Access Network Television to cover this hearing and make it available to the public. Local residents will be able to see the hearing on CAN TV, cable channel 21, Sunday, October 14th, from 9 to 5. My name is Martin King. I'm chairman of the Rainbow Push Coalition, and I read this statement on behalf of our founder and president, Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, Sr. I am honored and proud to welcome all of Chicago's communities to the Rainbow Push Coalition National Headquarters for the fifth FCC hearing on media ownership. Media is a life or death issue for communities of color in this country. At its worst, media can fan the flames of hatred, racism, and intolerance that lead to violence and injustice. At its best, media can hold the powerful accountable and help bring about change in our community. When cameras showed Rosa Parks at the front of the bus, when cameras showed police brutality in Birmingham, Alabama, when cameras showed Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the March on Washington, America woke up to the civil rights movement and the reality of racism. But when the cameras turn away, we have nooses hanging from white trees in Louisiana, we have broken government promises to the displaced victims of Katrina, we have immigrants dying in the desert and buried in unmarked graves, we have urban communities under the assault of poverty, injustice, and violence. The founders of Freedom's Journal, the first African-American newspaper, wrote, "We wish to plead our case. Too long, others have spoken for us, from the press and the pulpit. We have suffered much by being incorrectly represented. These words are as true today as they were 180 years ago. A legacy of discrimination and decades of consolidation have left people of color and women without equal access to our public airwaves and at the mercy of a white-dominated media. According to research by Free Press, people of color constitute just 7% of all full-power broadcast television and radio owners in the United States, but that same population represents 35%. This is a disgraceful level of inequality in one of the most important arenas of our economy and our democracy. For a city so rich in diversity, Chicago has one of the lowest levels of minority ownership among cities of its size. People of color make up nearly two-thirds of Chicago's population, but own just 5% of the TV and radio stations here in the city. Chicago has the fewest number of minority radio owners of the nation's 22 largest radio markets, and is the only top 10 market where the minority broadcast ownership percentage hovers around in the single digits. Melly Spann is here from WVON. She is the only African-American-owned radio station in the city of Chicago. much about opportunity, and when opportunity becomes available, Melody had a 1,000-watt station that in the last year just went from 1,000 watts to 10,000 watts. Congratulations to Melody fans. In short, too few own too much at the expense of too many. When a giant company is able to purchase thousands of radio stations across the country, people of color, already victims to a long history of discriminatory business lending practices, have even fewer ownership opportunities. This is plainly obvious to anyone who gives it half a thought. And yet our government has turned a blind eye for decades on this issue. In this political and economic climate, the viability of minority-owned stations is threatened. The shrinking number of independent minority owners must compete with the bulk advertising rates and syndicated programming big companies have at their fingertips. Often, they're forced to sell out to the national chain. We are being pushed off the dial and out of the picture, and that is unacceptable. I have urged the new congressional leadership to focus on restoring the tax certificate to promote minority ownership in broadcasting and in telecommunications. The return of the tax certificate program would give minority bidders a new opportunity to overcome financing shortages that today have left us with an ownership class that leaves minority communities out. But that's not enough. The FCC has a mandate to foster diversity, localism, and competition over the public airwaves. The FCC should not permit further media consolidation without first addressing the issue of minority ownership. The consequences of minority media ownership crisis are grave. Ownership and publishers choose editors and writers. They choose priorities and ultimately it bleeds into content. A recent study from Northwestern University found that in Chicago, for every non-white person who has heard in a story, there are 3 white people and people who are white, male and officials, dominate news about politics. Until we have equal access to the public airwaves, the media will continue to portray us and our youth as criminals and gangsters, play sexist music that disrespects our women, ignore the crimes against our children, and shut us out of the public debate. Studies have shown that minority owners are more likely to live and work in the communities that they serve. They are more likely to work to reflect the values of our communities and to serve the public interest as well as the profit motive. The FCC has indeed much work to do. It is time the FCC address this crisis. It is time the FCC listened to the people and rejected media consolidation. It is time the FCC opened the door to new owners, minorities, and women. It is time the FCC worked to make sure that the American media represents the American people. These are our airwaves. We gave them to big media, but we indeed can take them back. Thank you, and God bless you, and thank you for coming.
And that was Martin King, who is with the Rainbow Kush Coalition, reading a statement on behalf of the Reverend Jesse Jackson at the FCC hearing on media ownership, which happened in Chicago at the Rainbow Push Coalition headquarters on the south side of Chicago. Just yesterday, as we go to air today on September 21st, that happened from 4 to 11 p.m. on September 20th. All right, Scott, do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Thanks so much for hanging on.
You don't get your phone service from SBC because we've harassed them in the past. There may be some connection between the trouble that you're having and me.
So, Scott, you work with Chicago Media Action, which is a media reform and action group. I like the fact that action is in your name up there in Chicago, and you work on a variety of issues, and you folks put in a lot of time and organizing behind getting people out and educated for this hearing on the issue of media ownership, which happened on the 20th of September.
Yes, there were a number of people putting in overtime, working very hard to make sure that this hearing was a success, and I believe it was. There was a very good turnout, and we got actually a little bit more media coverage than I thought we might get. The quality of that coverage varies, of course, and sometimes you don't get what you thought you were getting, but yes, I think I think it worked.
And you also, you in advance of this, I noticed that there were organized by you and other community organizations in Chicago. There are a bunch of informational sessions and workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So Chicago Media Action arranged at least one and participated in several. Correct?
Yeah, I went to a few of them just to help out. There were, I believe, a total of five. They were in geographically disparate parts of the city so that we could hit various neighborhoods, and we had good turnouts at each one, and most all of the people that attended to those showed up at the hearing, and we were able to help them focus their thoughts. And basically, the main purpose of those workshops was to get them away from worrying too much about statistics and quotations from people, and to just express themselves in their lives what it is that they feel is wrong with media today, and what their views are, what's missing, and how they feel.
And in the workshops you went to, I mean, what is your impression of how people were feeling just walking in? I mean, these are people who elected to come to workshop on media ownership, right? I mean, were these are people who mm-hmm. are already activists, or some people who are sort of newly waking up? Okay.
A mixture.
And the whole point of getting them to focus on their own stories is because, right, all the academics can talk about the statistics.
Yeah, we've heard that. You know, what we need to hear is what we need to get is to get people engaged in this issue, just regular people.
And so you want to just help them, you know to focus their time, because I guess everyone got 2 minutes, is that correct?
2 minutes, a whopping 2 minutes, yes. But it was good. A lot of people were able to vent a lot of frustrations, and a number of people were quite articulate about what it is that they felt. And it's good to see that. I don't know exactly what's going to come from this, of course. That's hard to say. And I'd be happy to talk about that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were there last night then at
yes.
the Rainbow Push headquarters for the entirety of the hearing.
Well, not for the entirety,
not for the entirety
of the hearing.
Okay.
I missed certain parts of it. For certain points, I was operating the Chicago Media Action shuttle van. We had a taxi service to go to the local train stops to encourage people to come.
So you really were covering all angles there.
Well, yeah, we tried to.
A lot of effort there. Well, and so for what you were there for, I mean, what was it like? I mean, I've heard a number 800 people were there.
That sounds about right. I mean, they come and go throughout this very long, I think it was about 7-8 hours of hearing. And it's sort of a hot, large, old church type of situation mm-hmm. that you're in, and there was a lot of like audience participation, sort of like a church service in that sense, because mm-hmm. there was like a lot of yeah, you say it, that kind of thing, and there was a lot of that, and a lot of emotions were coming out, especially as the evening went on. There was one point where I was outside the front doors, and I like heard this loud screaming, and I went inside because I thought, you know, something was really going wrong, this was just a person who was upset and wanted to yell at the FCC.
Yes, I got caught a little bit of online, I wish I was not able to get a copy recorded in any way that was air presentable of a woman who really, she held up copies of 17 magazine and said, you know,
mm-hmm.
this is what...
She was very emotional,
She was
too,
very
yeah.
emotional, but I mean, it seemed appropriate to me. It mm-hmm. seemed appropriate to me, the emotionality that she was showing.
Absolutely. The woman that I heard a little later in the evening, well, her story was that she had been beaten up by the police and under very dubious circumstances. And the woman that you were referring to was very concerned about rape.
Mm-hmm. Yes, about the portraying women only as sexual body parts, essentially.
Exactly.
You know, both in television and in other elements of media. And it's unusual for this to have been the venue for an FCC hearing. I think that was, it's remarkable. Normally, a lot of times it's been at university campuses. It has been other community centers, but this is at least convention centers too. Yeah, yeah. This is a good showing, at least on the FCC's part, to choose, you know, the Rainbow Push Coalition headquarters on the south side of Chicago, which for anyone who's not from Chicago or Illinois may not, you know, always realize it is, you know, a historically very black part of Chicago. Chicago's, you know, generally been very segregated, white folks living on the north side and black folks and our minorities living on the south side. So to bring this hearing and to really have it be so focused on the issue of race and media ownership, especially since Chicago, as we heard, we heard earlier from Martin King from Rainbow Push saying, has the lowest concentration
of
minority ownership.
Yeah, I heard him, yeah, online, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's just one radio station in Chicago proper is owned by African Americans, is that correct?
Locally owned, right.
Yeah,
there's
okay.
actually four stations that are minority owned,
but
those are outsider, you know, out of state.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other comments I heard were from folks involved in the local music, you know, scene in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Which is very hop.
A lot of people upset on that issue.
And speaking about how, you know, but none of the local music, whether it's hip-hop or rock or any other genre, really gets any airplay on any stations as well. There's this void where Chicago music ought to be.
Yep.
And so you were there, you got to listen. And at the beginning, you know, is when the FCC, you know, commissioners get to make their statements. We started listening to a little bit from Jonathan Adelson when I decided to bring you on. And then also they tried out experts and such. And I know in other hearings, they bring out a lot of local media owners or local media representatives.
Yeah, there were some of those also. But I'd have to say that of the hearings that they've held so far, this one was probably the best balanced towards minorities and smaller or mid-sized media and the community.
Wow.
Which surprised us. There were two people on the panel that are actually fairly closely associated with Chicago Media Action. We kind of thought we were going to be shut out totally and not allowed to be in the panelists get 5 minutes if you're an official panelist.
I see.
And Charles Benton was there. I was pleasantly surprised to see him on the panel and a number of other people, especially the minority representation. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there must have been a lot of lobbying behind the scenes to get the minorities onto those official panels.
And who is Charles Benton?
Charles Benton is Public Media Incorporated. He's been very involved in media reform. One of the things that he's behind is the Media Democracy Coalition, which helped organize the event as a national group. He's a very articulate spokesperson.
I see.
For public media issues and general ownership issues as well.
Now, and things started around 4:00. Is that correct?
Well, they got a later start than that.
Yeah, that's a typical FCC meeting.
It just it went on past midnight.
Wow! So a good 7 to 8 hours.
Yeah,
that's quite a marathon.
I think a couple hundred people got a chance to make a comment.
Now, did it seem like people got a fair opportunity to get in line to get their name on the list and to make a comment?
If you're willing, you know, you have to take the day off from work. I don't know how a student could have come to this, unless they just ditched class or something. But if you're willing to get there early, the system seems to work reasonably well once you've done that.
Now, were people lining up well in advance of the planned start time?
Well, Chicago Media Action, my cohort, Mitchell, who's very active in numerous things, but especially Chicago Media Action, he was number one in line.
So,
and I asked him, of course, all of the TV stations and the major radio stations wanted to interview because you were the first one, right? And he said, no, none of them actually. although I believe Bill Moyers Journal interviewed him.
Okay.
And they were there.
Okay.
They had a crew.
And I mean, to be number one, when did he get there? Was this like standing in line for your iPhone?
I'd say about 9 a.m.
Oh, okay. 9 a.m.
For a 4 a.m. start.
For 4 p.m. start.
Well, quote, Olympia.
Yeah, right. Wow, that's...
It's a day of waiting.
It's a day of waiting to be number one. And by, say, you know, noon or mid-afternoon, what was the line pretty long?
Yeah. It started getting... Once you hit the three... Actually, I think at about 2:30, they took all the people that were in the room waiting and just started writing names down and giving assigning people numbers.
I see.
And then at that point, you were kind of free.
Because I've heard also at some of the other hearings that in some cases it was harder to get on the list, or the local corporate media had worked very hard to get their own folks.
Well, surprisingly,
online.
they did get their own folk on the list, but they were later in the line.
Hmm.
The first to 20 or 30 people were all community representatives.
Wow.
And that probably hasn't happened quite that way before. I think maybe some of the media here understand that you can't screw with Chicago.
You're right. This is Chicago, right?
Not, you know, whatever these
this
other
isn't,
places.
This isn't Maine, right? Well, and I'll take a moment to say that this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Risonel. I'm your host. And today I'm talking to Scott Sanders, who works with Chicago Media Action in Chicago, which is about 130 miles north of Champaign-Urbana, where Media Geek is produced here at Community Radio WEFT. And we're talking about the FCC hearing on media ownership that was held on September 20th up at Chicago at the Rainbow Push headquarters on the south side of that great city. And of course,
I'll point out you can go to our website at chicagomediaaction.org.
Absolutely. You should go to that. People should go to that website. You should also go to the Media Geek website at mediageek.net, and the radio show is at radio.mediageek.net. And if you got any comments, please send them to me, paul@mediageek.net. So have you had a chance now, Scott? I know you've probably just you know, you're catching up, recharging your batteries.
I'm coming up in the diving bell, decompressing.
Yeah, you're decompressing there. Have you had a chance to check out any of the local media coverage of the hearing last night?
Yes, I mentioned that I was part of the hearing. I was driving the shuttle van, and the van was, I did a lot of artwork with it. I bought these pens and I wrote phrases all over it, and I copied all of the cartoons and graphics that were anti-corporate media that I could possibly find, and I plastered them all over the van, put a big peace sign on it. And I'm looking right now a website on WBBM, which is the local CBS affiliate, and they did a little 2-minute TV news story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the van right there in the background. And there's pushes the front door right there.
So has it been somewhat balanced, or has it been, you know, a bunch of people came out and complained? And
well, the main problem, I think, with right now, I've been checking through some of the TV coverage. It's all very short, but I have to say, I'm just, like I said earlier, I'm a little surprised that they actually almost explain the issue. I mean,
really?
You can only do so much in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But they... I don't know, maybe it's because we've challenged all of the TV commercial TV licenses twice.
Yes, that's
at
right.
The FCC. Maybe they're afraid of us, or maybe they just felt guilty, but they it seemed like, and maybe because the FCC was all there watching them, they made an attempt to appear as if they were concerned about the issue.
Okay,
to
well,
some extent.
And you know, and media ownership with regard to minority ownership, I think, is probably something that's even harder for them to gloss over.
Yeah.
And the statistics don't
you
lie.
Got it.
The statistics of Chicago's minority ownership do not lie and are horrendous.
Yeah, and they are nationwide.
Nationwide,
it's a pathetic situation, and it's surprising that it's gone on this long. And that more people haven't become more upset earlier than this. But, you know, be that as it may, I think people are beginning to become quite upset about it. And about just about all media-related issues these days, I believe.
And amongst the comments that you were able to be there to hear, how many positive comments did you hear? At least people saying, you know, well, at least, you know, our local commercial media does X, Y, or Z.
Well, you know, many people's speaking style, they'll throw in, you know, they'll say, and I know you did this one thing here and this other little thing over here, so I'm not saying you're totally bad, but right after they say that, then they come up with the whole litany. And then, there are the people who are on salary for the broadcasters, and they're paid to go there and wait in line or to go and make a comment. And there were certain clumps of speakers, I'll say, you know, where you could tell that there was a whole little row of corporate people or people who were from community groups who've received a little bit of coverage from the station. And so the station says, you know, why don't you go do this and maybe we'll come out and give you another 30-second soundbite, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. So they are able to generate, because they have so much money and so much power, they're able to generate a certain amount of support or seeming support.
Mm-hmm. Are there any comments, positive or negative? Is there one that really sticks out in your mind that you heard?
There was a couple of things, actually. You mentioned WVON as the only locally owned minority station. They have a special agreement with Clear Channel. It's called an LMA. And basically that means that there's sort of a financial problem, and it's kind of complicated to explain, but they sort of have to cut a deal. And it's called an LMA, but there was one speaker who called that losing my ass. Is what that stands for.
An LMA means a local marketing agreement.
There you go.
Yeah.
and also, Ray Hanania made some comments, and I had been in conversation with him prior to the hearing. He's an Arab American and is very upset about the dismal state of Arab American media ownership. I was trying to find out if he knew of any Arab American television broadcast stations that were in the United States. He doesn't know of any, and I think that says a lot.
Right. I mean, it's not just a matter of whether we're talking about African Americans and whites. It's across the spectrum of many different peoples. Mm-hmm. And many different ethnicities. Real quickly, about a minute left here. So to some extent, what's on Chicago Media Action's radar right now? What's kind of next for you folks to be putting your efforts into?
Huh. Well, you know, there's so many problems. I'll use this as an opportunity. If you have a problem or a beef, something you think that needs more attention that's in this area of media reform, send CMA an email at cma@chicagomediaaction.org, and we'll look into it. We've been on the defensive over the last number of years so much that we have to start developing also an offense type of things so that we can expand and repair the public space. We need a much more expansive civic space than we have now. That's really our main problem as a society right now, actually.
Sure is. Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming onto the program today, and thank you so much for the work you're doing up there with Chicago Media Action and everything you did to help make sure that real citizen and individual people's voices were heard at that hearing at
thank
the FCC.
Thank you so much.
That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'm host and producer Paul Riesmandel. I'll be back in 1 week with another half-hour look at independent and grassroots media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. In the meantime, check out the frequently updated Media Geek blog at MediaGeek.net. The program can also be downloaded at radio.MediaGeek.net, where you can subscribe to the podcast. Media Geek is produced at Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois, and is heard on 10 other community stations around North America, including KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, KQRP in Salida, California, KRBS in Oroville, California, WSLR in Sarasota, Florida, WTND Macomb, Illinois, WRFA in Jamestown, New York, CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia, WYQZ in Warrenton, Bealeton, Virginia, KWMD Kasilov in Anchorage, Alaska, WVEW in Brattleboro, Vermont, and Free Radio Olympia Media in Olympia, Washington. It's also on the web at Free Radio San Diego, Pirate969.org, and RadioDriftless.org. Media Geek is free to air on your local non-commercial station, too. Just email paul at MediaGeek.net. That's also where you can send comments about the program, paul at MediaGeek.net. Thanks for tuning in.